Welcome to the Fit Life with MJ podcast, where you'll learn how to become the most unstoppable, healthy, fit, and confident version of yourself your way. Listen in as I drop weekly real and raw solo episodes and interviews with industry professionals covering all things fitness, mindset, and personal development to inspire and teach you how to get results and level up on your terms. I'm your host, MJ, certified personal trainer, nutrition, mindset, and personal development coach. I cannot wait to share today's episode with you. So let's get into it. Hello, fam. Welcome to the Fit Life with MJ podcast. I am so freaking excited for today's episode. You guys know I love talking all things mindset and personal development, and this guy has it in spades. He's an absolute legend in this field, and I cannot wait for him to drop all of his knowledge with you guys. And of course, I will talk about how you can connect with him on social media as well, because I know you're going to want to. Lewis, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm really good, MJ. I'm feeling good. And to be honest, I've been sick the last couple of days. So sorry for the listeners.
Not a problem.
I've been a little bit down, but yeah, coming out the other side today, had a couple of calls today, so feeling a lot better. Just got out of a nap, just to be real with you guys. I'm very vulnerable. Just got out of a nap. I'm like, I've got a podcast. Let's get a quick 30-minute nap in right here. So got all the energy for you.
Oh, I love it. Prioritizing that mental clarity so that you can come on and drop some real firebombs for us all. That's so special.
Absolutely.
I love it. I would love for you. I know my listeners are going to absolutely froth a lot of what you have to say today, but I would love for you to start by just introducing yourself and give a bit of a background of who is Lewis, what do you do, how long have you been doing it for, and specifically, like, who do you help mostly?
Beautiful. Look, my name is Lewis. I'm a human being on this beautiful rock called Earth. And I'm figuring my life out. I'm working on me, healing, growing, consistently, I guess, unlearning the things that have kept me back and limited me, and constantly upgrading the coding that's inside of my head to be the best authentic, fullest expressed version of me. My story in a nutshell, very anxious, struggled mentally, emotionally, growing up with my upbringing, with my family, and had mental, emotional abuse throughout the family, suicide, antidepressants, anxiety. I got diagnosed with Asperger's, ADHD, and got into the business world around the age of 18, where I met Dion, who's a mutual friend of ours, and opened up 3 gyms by the age of 22. Very naively did that, so it sounded better than what it was, but opened up too quickly, scaled with naiveness, and yeah, ended up having a team of 15 doing 7 figures a year at 23, and was just so super stretched, and just I'd built this hamster wheel that a lot of business owners do. They build they buy themselves a job, and they create themselves a job. Yep. Which it becomes a hamster wheel that gets faster and harder to stay on the longer you stay on it. So I had some awakening moments throughout this entire time. I was into self-development. I went down the Tony Robbins rabbit hole, mm-hmm. the DeMartini, the Joe Dispenza, the Bruce Limpton, the Wayne Dyer, Kerwin Ray's big mentor of mine. And yeah, just loved it, and took me a couple goes, but eventually got all the pieces to click, and I was able to sell 2 of those gyms that I'm referring to. I've managed to scale myself out of the gym that I've still got, out of all the operations. So it's a business that runs without me now, with a beautiful, inspired team. And for the last, the whole time I've been coaching people, but for the last sort of like year and a bit, been really focused on coaching people specifically with what I love and what my passion and what my purpose is. And I guess summarize that, I integrate the personal and the professional together, the commercial and the spiritual together. It's been able to actually do what you love what you do, and do very well commercially. I think there's a bit of a spectrum where on one side you've kind of got your sort of quote business coaches, where they're very systems, processes, sales, marketing, organizational structure, very head heavy and very commercialized, and you obviously need that. And then on the other side, you've got your sort of your spiritual teachers, where most people picture someone levitating off the ground with all this sage going everywhere, and most of them don't have money to pay for anything. They haven't got much money. So I believe you can have both. I believe you can do what you love, love what you do, get beautifully paid to do it, and give your gift to the world and commercialize your purpose, essentially. And within there, there's limiting beliefs, there's blockages, there's unhealed stuff, there's, yeah, a lot of, I guess, inner work to be done. And that's kind of where I sit. That's where I spend most of my day, helping people do exactly that.
I love it. I'm going to share your social media, particularly Instagram, for all of my listeners, because I really think it's going to be a huge value for them to see a lot of what you do post, because it is very on point with that, very much getting down into the depths of the inner workings of our minds and just how limiting they can be unless we do that inner work, and how much that actually holds us back from reaching our full potential. And I love how that works in both business and in health, because I've seen it definitely on the health side of things. And then, of course, in the business side of things, obviously with my fitness business. I love how you have taken the experiences from your upbringing and this is what you've turned it into, because things like that can really go one of two ways. I'm just trying to remember who it was. There have been multiple studies done where they've taken children from the same family and a rough upbringing, and one of them's turned out very wealthy, very successful, and the other one's turned out addicted to drugs and alcohol, and both of them blame the exact same upbringing. It's just been their outlook. What do you think, and I know this isn't a question that I discussed with you, it's a curveball one, but I know you're going to have the answer. What do you think it was for you that helped you take that path rather than the more self-destructive one?
Yeah, it's a beautiful question. I actually asked that exact question to a guest I had on my podcast one time, because transparently, I don't know the answer of, like, because I go down to, like, okay, well, what's happening inside of their mind for one person to take the victim and one person take the victor out, essentially, is the question. Like, there's a story of the two brothers, and I don't know if this is real or not, but hypothetically, two brothers have the same alcoholic dad. One brother becomes a successful entrepreneur and achieves a lot of things. The other brother becomes an alcoholic, and they ask, why did you do this? And said their answer was both the same. With a father like mine, I had no other choice. So I guess I'll share my version of how I did that. But why, it's an interesting question. There's the nature versus nurture conversation comes into it. I believe, this is my belief anyways, I believe everything's a skill. I think everything can be learned. You can learn how to sell, you can learn how to heal, you can learn discipline, you can learn grit. It's all something that's can be taught. There's obviously the drag a horse to water, can't make it drink conversation comes into it. Are you willing and open to do the work? Which I guess if you just look at the data, most people aren't. To balance that out, I believe everyone is doing the best of what they have, and you can't hold someone accountable to something they're oblivious to. So for me, it's like once you become aware, whether it's a podcast like this, whether it's a Tony Robbins event, a self-development book, a spiritual awakening, or whatever's happening, once you're aware of it, it's now on you. It's now your responsibility. And no one's perfect. I still make mistakes. I still get triggered. My stuff still comes up. But yeah, I think what one of the first sort of, I guess, seeds that were planted for me when I was younger was the pain that I went through emotionally, like very anxious, very emotional, very teary, very scared, very fearful young boy. And then I guess fast forward many, many years when I guess... the curtain got pulled back and I started to really sink my teeth into self-development is when I got introduced to it. So I remember the first video I watched, it was Tony Robbins, and it was on YouTube, and it was just about matching and mirroring and building rapport. And for someone who really, quote, suffered in quotations, with social anxiety, with making friends, retaining relationships, very common themes of people with Asperger's, like learning how to just communicate with someone, I was like, holy fuck, this is amazing. This is sick. Oh my God. This is like never been taught this before. So I got the bug, and then it's like, I just watched I was on YouTube for hours. I was still at school at the time. So I was in year 12 at the time when I got into it, but I was just watching YouTube video after YouTube video, like every single video I could find of Tony Robbins, and then got Gary Vee came into the picture, and then Grant Cardone came into the picture, and then Demartini, Joe Dispenza. Like once I got exposed to it, like I was saying, once I became conscious of it, I then decided to go into it. Because fast forward to that, I was a very angry person. I was a very victim person. I blamed my parents. I blamed my upbringing. I blamed everyone else but myself for the life that I had. So I guess once I became aware of it, that was the awakening for me. Why did I decide to go with that? I don't know the answer to that question. And like I said, I asked the same question to a guest on my podcast. And I was like, what makes the difference? Why does one person go left and one person go right? I think if I had to answer the question, I think at some level, the person just wants it more. Mm. And why is that? Maybe they have a vision, maybe someone doesn't. But yeah, it's once you've been blessed with the gift of awareness, which is something that you and me have, Megan, we've been exposed to self-development. We're in the world. You've got your beautiful podcast now and the clients that you're impacting. It's like, I feel obviously I have a gift of being a teacher or a healer or a coach, and you're very similar to me. It's like, I'm sure when you had your healing or growth or impact, probably in the health area, because that's what you're helping others with, which I assume was painful for you in your upbringing. Now you've solved that. It's like, oh my God, I want to give this to others. Mm. It's like when you watch an epic movie, you're like, I want to tell everyone about it. Oh my God, this was so sick. So, and then when you project that onto your family members, they normally tell you to piss off too, tell you not to, it's a scam, it's a seminar. For me, it was Tony Robbins. It was literally a YouTube video, and I was like, oh my God. I then went to his event, Unleash the Power Within, UPW, which is literally next week. And my partner is in the house, on the other side of the house right now. She's going there next week, which is really cool. So went to his events, and then I signed up to masterminds, I signed up to courses, had spiritual healers, signed up with Reiki healers, done plant ceremony sessions. It's like, again, it's just like a kid in a candy shop. I'm like, this is amazing. There's so many different avenues to heal, and then being able to then, in my way, find my way of giving that back to the world. That's essentially what I do.
I'm just like absorbing everything that you just said. Then it really is. I love how you sort of touched on how you could have gone either one of two ways. It was just down to what you were exposed to. I love that whole idea of like the nature versus nurture. Is also like your environment was what it was. That was the situation that you were in. And then the environment that you were in exposed you to personal development. And then it just, obviously your nature found an interest in that, and you've gone down that path, and it's led you to where you are now. I love that. My starting out with personal development was actually through, It was Gary V. And I went to a Success Resources seminar years ago. And then I got onto Gary Vee, and then that just, Tony Robbins opens you up to the whole plethora of all of them, Grant Cardone. And it just goes from there. And I guess I had an upbringing with quite a lot of spiritual people around me as well. So from my early days, it's always been there that there was something else there more than just, you know, surface level, who we are, what we do, how we react. So yeah, I totally relate with that. And I think becoming more aware of it, the impact that it's had for me in my ability to regulate my emotions, which therefore changes the outcomes that you're able to get, because you can be more mindful of the actions you take. And I'm always telling my followers and my clients, your outcomes really are based off beliefs that then become thoughts that then become actions, and you get to change what those beliefs are, which impact the outcomes that you get from the actions you take. What would you say makes personal development, in your experience and I guess the impact you see on the people you help, what makes mindset and personal development so important for business owners in particular? Because that's mostly who you help, is people in business, or anyone that you really help.
Yeah, beautiful question. So I think, as cliche, I always go big picture, then I'll zoom in, then I'll zoom back out, then I'll zoom back in again. So like for me, success comes down to two parts. It's the science of achievement and it's the art of fulfillment. And I got that from Tony many, many years ago. And so it's the 80-20. Like the science is the achievement. It's the fundamentally there's rules and there's structures and there's like it's black and white. It's more you want to lose weight, calories, protein, exercise, like there's things to do to get a particular result. Obviously everyone's uniquely different. Like money, there's certain habits and rules of money. If you spend more than you earn, you live off credit cards, you never invest money, like you're not going to be well financially. So there's certain rules to that. And then fulfillment is the more unique one. It's less talked about. It's like, well, what actually lights your soul on fire? I literally had a strategy call before with a lady that joined up and signed up with me, and she's actually a movie writer, won awards, done well with property, got these investments, and she's like, I feel fucking empty on the inside. Yeah. I'm like, beautiful. So you've done really well with the achievement. You haven't really mastered the fulfillment part. And again, like everyone's doing the best what she has, and it's like you just never fucking been taught how to, right? Mm. So I think circling back to your question, for me, the mindset is the part that underpins the strategy. It's like you can give two people the same strategy. One person goes out and creates a life on their terms. One person complains their life sucks. it's not the skills, not the difference. We use weight loss. It's like there's three S's to a breakthrough. Again, I got this from Tony many, many years ago. It's like there's three S's. One's the story, and it's the I can't do it because I'm not good enough. I'm big boned, or I can't lose weight. I've tried it, or whatever it may be. It's like the story's there. And then I skipped to the second part. The first step is the strategy. The strategy of how to lose weight. Now, you need to get the strategy, but the strategy is fucking everywhere. Like, you can Google. Like, I'm not sure. You're on the sunny coast, I'm pretty sure. You're on the sunny coast? Beautiful. If it's anything like the Gold Coast, there's fucking gyms everywhere. I own one of them, and there's like five on our street. Like, there's gyms everywhere. It's like you can Google. Like, if I go to your Instagram, I could find tons of tips of how to be healthy, right? The strategy is everywhere. But if you don't have the second part, which is the story, and the third part, the state, the mindset to actually go do it, you're not going to follow through with the strategy. So for me, the mindset for me is more important, because if you don't shift that, you can get given, you can Google all the strategies on the fucking planet. But if you're not actually executing it at an authentic level, at a consistent level, at a high level, then you're just going to keep repeating the same problems because you haven't learned the same lessons. So for me, you can do both, and I do dance between the two. So depending who I'm working with, whether it's a business owner, a CEO, or just a normal mum and dad, and they want to maybe achieve goals while working on themselves, then I will generally dance between the two. But you will attract people and circumstances to reveal the parts you haven't healed through and you haven't worked through yet. So as you're chasing your goals and you get triggered and you feel overwhelmed and you self-sabotage and you doubt yourself and you beat yourself up and you're not good enough and you're comparing yourself, or you're chasing the mirage where you think you'll be happy when you achieve it, you do it and you still feel empty. It's like all of those iterations are all coming back to mindset. It's not strategy. Mm-hmm. The strategy is kind of the 20%, the 80% in Pareto's law, 20% strategy, 80% mindset. If you do not have the mindset to find the strategy, to execute on the strategy, to get up when you fucking fail, to ask for help, to keep pushing when it's difficult, it doesn't matter how many strategies you have. So for me, the mindset's more important, in my opinion. You do need both. Like, I don't want to dismiss the strategy. A strategy can save you years, save you decades of time if you get the right strategy. But if you have all the strategy in the world, but you haven't found what fulfills you, you haven't healed through the shit that keeps getting triggered in your relationship, who keeps pissing you off with your clients, and you burn yourself out and you feel guilty for not switching off. And I'm just sort of throwing out all these sort of symptoms, because most people solve symptoms, which is another conversation as well. But I like to fix the well, not the sink. I don't want to just keep fixing the sink and the well's fucked, because then the sink just keeps breaking. It's like all these symptoms, which people, I guess, probably starts their sort of journey in self-development, so it's there for a reason. But I want to get to the root cause. Well, firstly, who's your authentic self? What actually lights you up? Get them to learn that, like, no external thing you achieve or accumulate will ever dictate your own worth. We came in with nothing. We leave with nothing. We are divine beings, exactly who we are right now in this moment. And get them to really feel into that. Heal through any past trauma, wounds, hurt that they haven't dissolved or haven't collapsed yet. And then from that energetic level, then chase your goals, because I don't want to sort of get to the point where people are like, oh, well, should I just not achieve anything? No, I don't believe that. I believe get clear on what fucking lights you up and what truly sets your soul on fire. Get clear on a vision, get clear on a plan, and get clear on what needs to be done, but be so detached from ever achieving it. Whatever you need in life controls you. So if you're needy of whatever that thing is, the love, the business, the money, the status, then whatever stands within your way of that goal will have control over you, whether it's your boss, whether it's your partner, whether it's your kids, whether it's a social media account, and it's just going to have control over you because you're needy of it. Well, what if you didn't need anything? What if you were completely unfuckable with and nothing could fuck with you, because nothing, you're not controlled, you don't need anything. Like, I'm fucking whole regardless of how much money I have in my bank account. And I do this because I'm inspired to do it. And I obviously commercialize myself. I get paid to do what I do, and I do very well. But I'm not attached to it because I'm not needy of it, because I know my worth and I know who I am and I know what I stand for. And I still have work to do as well. Everyone's still healing. So yeah, the kind of a long answer there, but work on yourself, because the strategies are simple. Google it. Whatever you're trying to achieve and you're achieving it, jump on ChatGPT, jump on Google, jump on YouTube. 30 minutes, you'll have at least something to start with. Go execute. If that doesn't work, pay a fucking coach, get a fucking course, read a book. There's more strategies there. And like, the strategies are just everywhere.
Exactly.
But if you're not addressing what's in between the ears, it's like you can try all the strategies all day long. You're just going to keep self-sabotaging, keep two step forward, one step back, mm-hmm. and just stay in this vicious fucking loop for a while until you hit a breaking point, midlife crisis, blowing things up, self-sabotaging the business, relationship collapsing, and then that generally will, that's when I normally come into the picture. That's when people generally come knocking on my door. At breaking point
where everyone's realized, yeah. holy crap, I've let this go too far. Yeah. Until yeah. then, we're just water yeah. usually. Just
yeah, yeah, yeah.
We
spot
just
on.
Adapt
spot
as on. Things get worse, and then we reach a point where it's like, nope, I got to get out of this. You're like rock bottom.
Yeah,
I resonate with that a lot, and I love how you've been touching on the deeper sides of the like the fulfillment side of things. Like, if you need the outcome, if you need it, it's always going to control you. And I think a lot of people, this can really have a huge impact on people's ability to improve their health and their body composition and lose weight and actually keep it off, because, and this is why I've been getting into teaching this to my girls now, because over the years of my own personal development and my coaching, it's become so, like, what's the word when you can't, like, undebatably, irrefutably obvious that exactly what you said, if the mindset isn't there, no strategy is going to matter anyway. Like, I could give you the best meal plan and workout program on the planet. If up here isn't primed to actually follow it and believe that you can achieve the goal, it's not going to get you anywhere, because you won't follow it properly and you won't get the most out of it, even if you do follow it, until you've addressed the foundational mindsets behind it. Yeah. Yeah. I just like lit up when you went there, because I was like, this is exactly the sort of thing I teach my girls. A lot of it is limiting beliefs as well. Limiting beliefs of our abilities and our worthiness to be what we want to become.
Yeah.
Do you have, I can imagine you would, I'd love you to sort of explain where you've come across instances where you've seen people have those limiting beliefs and that self-doubt that's been the thing that's held them back from success, whether it be in health. I'm assuming you've got a lot of clients who actually are trying to improve their health as well.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. Yeah, I've got a great example that I can share with you.
Love
now.
That.
I think, like, firstly, again, like, you can't do anything until you're conscious of it. Like, you can't, like, the name in itself, limiting belief, it's like most people aren't even aware of the term. Yep. And then the other part is then coming to terms with those beliefs. And there's a quote, Alex Hormozy shares a lot, but I'm actually wearing this hat for anyone not watching the video. But I don't know where he got the quote from, so credit whoever it is if you know what it is. But we challenge all of our beliefs except for the beliefs we truly believe, those we never think to challenge. So if you are like, say, I'll use a religious one. I'm not heavily religious. I'm quite heavily spiritual, but I don't believe with a God with a beard, and I believe in source, and that's just mine for,
yeah,
anyone,
I'm
for
similar.
Context. But say you grew up in a fully Catholic, very sort of Jesus, God, family and religion, and like that is the truth and that's all you know. Like, if someone just come in and said he's not real, it's like you wouldn't even consider it. It's like, because you're so strong with that belief, yeah. right? And then we have that for everything: your body image, your relationship with money, your relationship with relationships. Like, you have it in every single area of your entire life. And the challenge is, a lot of them are unconscious. Well, majority are. Most people's beliefs, whole life is unconscious. So, but the age of 35, 95% of what we do is on autopilot. So it's been coming aware of the things you're not aware of, been thinking about the thoughts that you're having. So anyways, just to give a bit of context, it takes a bit of time. That's why it's good having a coach, a mirror, someone who can actually challenge you, pull things up for you. But this is something that will maybe fuck a couple minds listening to this. But the only reason you do anything or don't do anything is because it actually does serve you. Mm-hmm. So the reason you don't lose the weight, it serves you. The reason you stay broke, it serves you. The reason you stay single, it serves you. There's benefits to doing it unconsciously, hence why I said that before. Really powerful example. He's a really good friend of mine. I've been becoming closer and closer with him. I won't use his name for privacy reasons. But he's struggled with weight for a long time. And he's a gentleman, and he's been really good at achieving other areas like business, made really good money, got a beautiful Porsche, like really well financially, but has always, he's a father, he's married, got a beautiful, beautiful son. But he's really struggled with the weight, and he's just always had the body fat and really struggled with it. And he tried all the strategies, did all the meal plans, did all the fucking fasting, did all the supplements, like did all the trainers, all the gyms, all the studios, just couldn't crack it. And then he did a balance and exercise, which is exactly the work that I do. He did it with someone else. This wasn't with me, by the way. He worked with another coach who does the same stuff that I do, or their version of what I do. And he realized that his mum and his parents, his dad cheated on his mum when he was younger, and it was really painful for him.
Yeah, right.
And he had linked unconsciously until it became conscious that he kept self-sabotaging him losing weight, because if he became more attractive, he had a higher probability of cheating on his partner because he would get more attention from women, because he got a lot of that when he was younger. So he linked me being fitter and healthier gets more attention from women, which would increase the probability of cheating on my wife, and I don't want to cheat on my wife, so I'm going to keep on the body fat. Now, that sounds a bit far-fetched for some people, but when you really link those dots together, there are benefits to doing what it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So the question, when most people saying like, how do I fix this thing, this problem? Firstly, things are only problem because you perceive it to be a problem. So I always ask, well, what's the benefit of you doing that? And there aren't any. Yes, there are. You're just not looking for them. So it's just quite challenging. So if anyone who's listening to this and maybe you can't crack the diet, you can't lose the weight, you can't whatever it may be, it's like, what is the benefit of you doing this? And it might take a while, but look for it.
Yep.
Because whatever we judge ourselves for, we attract more of. If I say, don't look for the yellow bus, you're thinking about it, you're attracting it, and you're in that world of yellow buses, right? So if you judge yourself for being fat, for being overweight, because it's bad,
staying stuck in that.
Subconsciously, you're beating yourself up and you're putting energy into it. I think you mentioned at the start of this podcast where energy goes, where focus goes, energy flows. It's like, it's what you're actually living and you're attracting, you're creating.
Mm.
It's like, well, what if there was nothing wrong with being overweight or not even just being who you are?
Yeah.
It's just being you. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's like that the once that clicks for whoever's listening, it's like there's a sense of peace, sense of like lightness, because physical weight is the precursor to that is emotional weight, because the accumulation we have up here then flows into accumulation we have in our world, right? Might be weight. It might be hoarding shit in your house. Yeah. Like you just got a lot of things, a lot of clutter in your house. It's like if a good exercise for a lot of people, just clean out your house.
Mm.
Like if you've got a lot of clutter and shit that you're storing, because you're storing shit in your head. So that's a good little exercise for people to sort of listen as well. But yeah, that's an example. So finding the reason why mentally, what is the benefit of you doing the thing that you perceive as a problem until you get to a point where you just recognize and give yourself some love and appreciation. Okay, I can understand why I did this. I have had other stories of clients where it was a woman this time, and she pretty much went through the reverse of that, where she was very sexualized when she was younger, got a lot of attention from the wrong type of men when she was younger, and she put all this weight on unconsciously, and magically she stopped getting all this attention. Yep. Because she wasn't sexualized as much anymore. And then she tried to lose the weight again, but she had this back thing in deep in her subconscious. If I lose weight again, I'm going to get sexualized again.
Yeah.
So it becomes this like protection, this armor to stop us from doing that. Mm. And again, no judgment, no right or wrong with that. But if that's not what you want, then you need to untie these little like, I picture it like a straitjacket of this ego, all these layers of these things of why we do what we do or what we don't do. And it's just learning to unthread those and untie those and release those to allow us to have that level of freedom and that level of love and that level of peace. So we're not so fucking hard on ourselves all the time. But yeah, I hope I answered that question. I don't know.
Oh, you absolutely answered it 1,000,000%. And you went into a lot of things that I'm now teaching my girls as well. I've done a bit of content around this recently too. And I'd actually love your feedback from your in-depth perspective of this as well. Because you did go there just then saying ego with the straitjacket, you know, the reason that we take the actions we do. And what I'm teaching a lot of my girls now is one of the biggest reasons that they will struggle on a surface level now and keep self-sabotaging is because they've spent so long doing what they're doing. The habits that they're taking every day have become a part of their identity. And our identity and sense of self is like our safety mechanism to know how we fit into society so that we know we're a contributing member. We're not going to get kicked out. And, you know, way back from the beginning of our evolution, our brains want to keep us safety in numbers, because if you got thrown out of the tribe, you'd be eaten by a lion, you couldn't hunt. So we have safety in numbers, we're pack animals, we want to know that we fit in. So our identity does that for us, and our ego is like a wall around our identity, and our identity basically is our comfort zone. And the minute you try to do something to change who you are, that's taking a step out the comfort zone. The ego is just going to rubber band you straight back in. So that's not our identity. Anything outside there is unsafe.
Yep.
And so on the secondary level to that is getting to the root cause of why you started the habits that you did. So I've had a girl similar to you. I've had a client who I did this journal exercise with to get to the bottom of her limiting beliefs and why she just kept self-sabotaging. And she found out that through doing that, the reason she was always falling off the wagon was because her mother died way younger than she should have a few years ago. And her family kept telling her that if she had have had more weight on her, she would have lived longer. So she had this foundational belief that being like having less weight on her body was going to make her unhealthy. Even though she knew on a surface level that wasn't true, foundationally it had been taught into her, and her whole family upbringing was never a healthy one. And so she had all these foundational beliefs she hadn't identified, and getting to the bottom of them helped her release that and find that consistency. And I think that that relates a lot to what you said just then, which I love as well. What are your thoughts on that ego versus identity? I guess.
No.
What would you call it? Point that I made.
I think you said it really, really well. Like my beliefs are very, very similar to that. So the way I guess I articulated, there's the authentic self and there's the egocentric self. Mm-hmm. And the egocentric self is the version that we've created of who we need to be loved, to be enough, to be successful. And it's an accumulation of all of the limiting beliefs and wounds that we pick up through our childhood, through our life, and all the pain and shit that we go through. And the best, excuse me, example I use is just babies. It's like when we come into this world, picture a newborn baby, like they don't care about people's opinions.
Yeah.
They're not anxious about the past. They're not worrying about the future. They're not depressed. They're not overwhelmed. They're not thinking, oh my God, I need to make more money so I'm loved and I get whatever. Like they just don't care. Like we are just that baby grown, but we've picked up a lot of these limitations, limiting beliefs, wounds, pain, and all that stuff, and restrictions. And that for me becomes the ego. And that the challenge with the ego, it's very, very, again, it's, you can't see the forest through the trees. You can't really become aware of it unless you're doing a lot of journaling work, self-introspection work, and having coaches and mirrors put up on you and doing a lot of sort of, I guess, meditation or whatever your strategy is. It's challenging to become aware of it, but the ego always wants to be right. So there's traits of the ego or symptoms of the ego about defense, deflection, attack, denial, comparison. And it's like the ego wants to avoid pain and it always wants to be right. So it's quite a little gesture of a dance that you play with the ego. So if like say Megan, you've got a particular belief about yourself that I'm trying to use like a health and fitness one, but like say like you fasting is bad. Let's just use that. And it's like fasting can be good and bad. And some people do believe that. And if I just said, no, it's the best thing for you. Every person on the planet should do that. And it goes against it. And it goes against what you believe. It's like, you're generally going to snap back and go, or whatever, or say something. Probably wasn't the best example. A better example is where you've got wounds or where you've got pain. Mm-hmm. So if I was to say something, and this ties into triggers. So whenever you're triggered, it's revealing a wound that you haven't healed through yet. Yeah. And your ego wants to come and protect it because the ego doesn't like pain. It always wants to be right. So if like, say, again, you've been really hurt from the masculine, like really hurt, bad relationships, bad with dad, bad with whatever masculine it is, you might have a belief that all men are assholes. And I've literally heard this before. Yeah. Like all men are fucked. All they want is one thing. They're just thinking with their dicks. They don't, there's no gentleman left in the world. And imagine what type of people you'll find with that belief. And then if I was to challenge that, or something came up to challenge that, the ego wants to come in and defend it or deflect it or not talk about it, because there's underneath that belief, you'll find some pain, you'll find some stuff, and the ego doesn't want the pain, so wants to stay off that. That's why it'll have its strategy. It will deflect, it will attack, it will compare, it will change topic, it will sugarcoat things. It will just do whatever it needs to do to not go into that wound, because the wound's painful and we don't want to go into pain, even though that's avoiding the growth.
Yes.
So I say the ego is the bodyguard at the door of your wounds. So if you've got a wound there, which we all do, your ego is going to stop anyone from talking about it, leaning into it, unless you're self-aware and you're open to doing the work. And obviously you would be, Megan, and yeah, exactly. I'm sure some of your listeners are as well. But yeah, it's stopping you from doing it. And it's so subtle. And this is why I talk about relationships a lot, is like, say, like you and me have met once at Dion's event, Megan, and we've spoken a little bit on social media and we're talking now, like, say I say something that might trigger you or whatever it may be, or you trigger me. If I've got the ego up and I'm like, fuck you, don't want to talk about it, you're bullshit, who the fuck do you think you are? And it's like, and that disappears, that conversation ends, we probably just won't speak again for a while, versus you do it with your partner. And they say something, it's like, you're literally going to see them fucking this afternoon. You're going to be in the same bed with them before you go to bed. Yeah. It's like, the relationship, just because you're so, you're around each other so much and you shine the spotlight, the awareness, yeah, on all of the parts of you that no one else really gets to see, that's where the ego and the wounds really get challenged and brought to the surface, so you can heal more than anywhere else. Yeah. So that's why I say you'll do more healing in an intimate relationship more than any coaching, therapy, plant fucking ceremony ever, than it compared to an intimate relationship, yeah, because they're literally just shining this very, very fine spotlight on the very micro wounds and bigger wounds that you've got to give you the awareness to heal through it, as long as you've got the tools to do so.
Absolutely spot on. I even have noticed so much, because I was in a 6-year relationship 6 years ago, nearly. Wow. And completely unself-aware, very ego dominant. So my ego was just protecting me from all of the pain that I could possibly encounter, all of the triggers, all of the things. And I was just floating through life, very unfulfilled, very unhappy. Luckily for me, I have a very good sense of intuition. So I was able to find my path to where I am now just by following my gut instincts. And I've been able to develop even more into that, which has been so much fun. But now in my relationship with James, we've only been together since January. I can already see the way that our relationship mirrors to me the things I need to work on. And I'm able to pick them up and work on those things. But I wouldn't have been able to do that without learning how to identify those triggers and then how to work through them, which I think is what a lot of people struggle with, because they have their struggles, they've got their pains they're trying to avoid, but they don't know how to identify them. And then even if they did, they wouldn't know how to work through them, which of course is where the coaching comes in. So the coaching shows you how to do it and what to do. And then obviously the real life is where you play it out and you practice it and you actually put it into action. Because like Gary Vee always says, you can't learn to do push-ups by reading about them. You've got to actually put it into practice.
Love it.
Yeah, that everything you just said then was just so impactful. And I'd actually love to know off the back of that, what, if you're happy to share, or whatever you are happy to share, I guess the biggest struggle that you've been through where what you know about mindset and personal development has helped you through and how you applied it.
The first thing that comes to mind for me ties into confidence, self-worth. So that's probably the one that sort of comes to mind first for me from your question. So growing up, I was very, very unconfident, very shy, very timid, very anxious, very loner personality type. didn't have many friends, struggled to maintain them. So self-worth was always something for me to work on. And this ties into actually what you're saying, how you attract people to mirror those things and to teach them to you. It's like, I would always attract that trait through other people into my life. I would always be like really close friends with a really overconfident friend from school. Mm-hmm. So that was probably the biggest one for me. And that ties back to my father wounds, my dad wounds that I've done a lot of work through and a lot of healing through. So those were the ones that sort of shown up for me. I'm not sure where you'd like me to take that, but that was the wound itself. It showed up with my business, with my team, being a great leader for my team, making decisive questions, being decisive for my relationship, stepping into my masculine. To be really real with you guys, to give you an example of what a conscious relationship can look like, and this might sound a little bit too, because Georgia was pretty brutal with me the other day, but this is what it can sound like. So this week that had just been, to be real with you guys, last sort of 5-6 days have been pretty emotionally, mentally quite challenging for me. So I've had a lot of family stuff that's come to the surface. So a lot of really boundaries have been overstepped and I've put my foot down, which has caused some divide with my family. Plus I've been sick for the last 2 days. I started Reiki healing on Tuesday. So I've had a lot of stuff the last sort of like five, six days since Saturday. And big weeks, like 5-6 calls a day, podcasts. So I've blocked out Friday for me to not fucking do anything. Love. So one day to go. But anyway, so this was on, I think, Wednesday or maybe Monday. I'm not sure. One day this week. And we're just walking. We got sausage dogs. We're a sausage dog family. We're taking our dogs. I love them. Dexter and Alfie. They're legends. And we have a cat too. It's his birthday tomorrow. Oh, so happy birthday.
What's the cat's name?
Loki, what? But we never call him Loki. We just call him Puss
Puss. Like,
I never actually
Loki
call him Loki.
Out of the Avengers.
Yes. Oh. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Marvel fan. Called... Thank you.
My dog was called Logan after Wolverine.
Oh, he was love, a mastiff, love. I'm a big Marvel fan.
Wolverine, so yeah. With Logan.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So, big Marvel fan. Off topic. So, we're walking along the the park, and I was in my wounds. So I'm going through. I won't go to for their personal reasons, but I'll share my side. I've been really challenged with a lot of personal wounds from my siblings and my mum last couple of days. Just really challenging who I am and bringing some stuff up that I wasn't even aware of. And I'm quite an introspective, self-healing person, and they brought some stuff up, and. We're walking our animals, and I was just really in my wounds. And Georgia said it very calmly in a very, very healthy, challenging way, because I was playing a bit of a victim. I was in my pity party. I was being a bit of a victim. This is literally like 3 days ago. And I was just being pity party, being the wounded boy. So when we go into our wounds, we become the person we were when the wound happened. So I was probably a 5-year-old at the time. I was probably like a hurt 5-year-old, and I was being that 5-year-old. And this is what she said, kind of word for word. I'll try to get it right. But she said, baby, I do love you, and please take this politely. But right now you're being a very wounded masculine, and I'm here to support and challenge you. But I really would love for you to take this opportunity to really step up as a real embodied masculine and heal through this. Oh. That's what she said to me 3 days ago. And we were walking. And I was like... You know what? You're fucking right. Baby, thank you. Give me a little bit more time. Let me sit in here for a little bit more. Give me another hour or two. But, and she did that really beautifully. And our conversation's always like that. And fuck no, we still get triggered. We still have arguments or disagreements. They're very few and far between now. And they're a tenth of what they used to be. But that's what doing the work can look like. It's been actually challenged. So we need two things to grow in life. We need support and challenge. Too much support, we become weak. Too much challenge, we break. Mm-hmm. So it's been able to find that balance in your relationship with a coach and whatever it may be, where they can dance between the two. Because sometimes, like, George is very loving, very nurturing, very healing for me. And then sometimes she's very challenging. And generally speaking, the man in the relationship, or the masculine in the relationship, will be too challenging and needs to learn how to love and support and give a little bit more. I'm very guilty of that. So, yeah, I don't even know what that question was, but I don't know where how we ended up there.
I think we started out, I asked you what your biggest challenge was personal development had got you through it. And you did start out talking about, you know, confidence and then obviously awareness of your own personality traits and things like that. So it just sort of manifested and evolved into the perfect explanation. Because I think if I was an outsider listening to everything that you've been saying, I'd just be taking notes like there was no tomorrow. Because it's all just absolute gold from what you can learn and how you can just use self-awareness to really open up so much more potential in your life by understanding how to manage your reactions to things, I guess, so that you can be more in control of the outcomes that you get. I love how you've sort of been explaining, getting to know your personality. And I mean, the way that you sort of said just a minute ago, the masculine tends to be a little bit more challenging for the feminine. And there's always these different relationship dynamics. And I know quite often the masculine will always want to be the one that's feels like they're more in control. Like, you know, the man of the house kind of thing. But there are relationships out there also where the female does have a very dominant side to her as well. I think, what are your thoughts on, this is a complete left of field conversation, question really, but I know a lot of my listeners are going to love this as well for relationship purposes. Any relationships really, because if you can understand how to act around certain people and use your own self-awareness to act certain ways around certain people, you can definitely get more favorable outcomes in business relationships, life relationships, whether it's intimate or non. What are your thoughts on how impactful self-awareness and emotional intelligence can be in working through different personality dynamics? Because at a surface level, it's very easy for you to go, oh, your personality just clashes with mine. Your star sign's this and mine's this, so we're going to clash and things like that. But you can actually go deeper and take control of that yourself. What are your thoughts on our ability to do that and how it could benefit?
So I can just answer it, because there's like five, there's even more different. You can go the masculine, feminine, aspect. You can do a values conflict. You can do misalignment. You could be someone's triggering their own stuff. So there's a couple of sort of ways to tackle that. Mm-hmm. So if you could just add a little bit, are you talking, I heard a lot of, towards the start, relationship dynamics, which generally can go down the masculine feminine route, or are you just talking about just relationships as in human beings, like me to you, you to a friend? Like, are you talking intimate relationships from a energetics level, or a just like a normal sort of human being connection of friendship as well?
Yeah, when you break it down like that, it was a pretty broad question, wasn't it?
I can flow. I like broad too, but I want to make sure that I can tackle this.
I feel like
let's
start out with intimate relationships and how using self-awareness could help you, and like how you've said in those moments where Georgia has her moments where she's really challenging for you, and other times you're the one that's got the more challenging side. How does self-awareness and personal development come into play, and how can it benefit you in, I guess, working these relationships and making them work instead of just having those surface level personality clashes on, I guess, a values level? Because it comes down to values at the end of the day anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm about to go down that rabbit hole now that I know the question. So, so this is my take on it. I do a lot of relationship work because a relationship magnifies the work we haven't done. We've obviously touched on that a little bit today as well, but this is how I view a conscious, healthy relationship. Firstly, the person, each individual person, must be whole in who they are, because if you're needy of the relationship, they'll have control over you. Yeah. They'll treat you like shit. You'll put up with it. You won't set a boundary because you're needy of them. You're scared of them leaving you. And so that ties back to the self-worth and being whole sort of aspect. So assuming both people are whole and both people have clarity on their own values and their vision. So what's their values? What's intrinsically most important to them? I have a free values training online. Episode 200 of my podcast, go check it out. And then a vision. So what's the vision for your life in all areas of your values, including relationships? Because just like you can use this with business as well, if you're hiring someone, and I know hiring's not probably the romantic word to use in a relationship, but if you're deciding with someone who you want to do life with, it's like there needs to be alignment. If, like, hypothetically, you want to have kids and you've got a dream on having family, and the person you start dating never wants to have kids in their whole life, even if energetically, spiritually, sexually, communication-wise is on point, it's like there's conflict with the vision. So I want to make sure that there's at least fundamental. No one's quite perfect. Like, Georgia loves Taylor Swift. Loves it. It's like, I don't think I've ever heard Taylor Swift before being with her. I know you're exaggerating there, but I've never listened to Taylor Swift. That's cool. That's not a non-negotiable for me, right? But it's having clarity on what are the non-negotiables for the vision, for like kids, travel, learning, spirituality, intimacy, communication, whatever yours are. Everyone has their own unique. Making sure that both parties or both people, and it could be many people for non-monogamous relationships, that everyone involved is clear on the vision, and everyone is aligned with the vision. And this is the part that I don't think a lot of people talk about. Everyone is aware and willing to do the work to become the person worthy of the vision. That is the part I think a lot of people miss out, because your vision, you don't have it yet because you're not worthy of it. So for you to have the relationship you want, the intimacy, the communication, the love life, the travel, the freedom, the communication, or whatever you want, you don't have that right now because you're not worthy of it. You need to do some more self-development, whether it's beliefs or tactics. Again, mainly mindset, but it could be tactics here. You need to do the work. Now, where will a lot of the work happen? It will happen in the relationship. So that's when you guys have that level of just expectations, and you're on the same page that it's going to be natural that your stuff's going to come to the surface. It's a good thing. It's a natural thing. And then you guys have your ways of working through that. So how do you both work through that when things come to the surface? I used an example for myself the other day, from 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Something that happened with Georgia a couple of months ago now. I'd had a big day, finished, and Georgia messaged me and said, "Hey, do you want me to make you some dinner?" And for context, I cook most of the time. I'm normally a chef. She doesn't cook too much. And I said, "Fuck yeah, awesome, go for it." And she's making burgers. And she asked, "You like an egg on your burger?" I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely, of course." And then I'm just, I think, watching a documentary or something, and I'm like, "I'm going to go check out, see what's going on." And I walk up to the kitchen, and the eggs,
are meant to be fried eggs. They look like scrambled eggs. So the eggs are like fucked. They're not very good. They're not really made for a burger. So I said, babe, what's going on here? And you could see she'd been triggered straight away. And we had a bit of a disagreement, bit of some tears, some emotions came up. Obviously, the thing is, especially for the masculine, do not solve the problem while you're in the storm.
Yeah.
Don't solve the problem then. It's not the time to solve the problem. Regulate, breathe, make each other feel safe, heard, seen, loved. Get through the storm, let the dust settle, which we did. We did really well. And then afterwards, I asked my beautiful princess, I said, babe, just so I can be on the same page with you, obviously, you got triggered tonight, right? I came up and just asked what's going on with the eggs and you got quite triggered. Where's that coming from? She knew straight away, her ex-stepdad. Everything I did was wrong. It was never good enough. I tried to cook. It was shit. I did everything was just not good enough to him. So I'd brought that trigger to the wound. Beautiful. So I said, beautiful, baby. Thank you for being vulnerable. My question, what's your way of healing? How do you work through your stuff? Again, journaling, meditation. I have my processes. I'm a very head-heavy healer. You might get a Reiki healer. You might go do a plant ceremony. You might go get a therapist. You might get a counselor. Everyone's got their way. But if you do not choose to work through that, then you're choosing to continue to let your relationship suffer because of that unhealed shit. And it doesn't stay the same. It gets worse because say, for example, Georgia doesn't work on that particular wound. And then the next thing happens, it might not be eggs. It might be the cleaning. It might be the dishes. It might be the washing. Yeah. And the same thing happens. The same wound gets triggered again, but there's now residue from the previous one. So now it's even worse. And you do that enough times, the relationship blows up and you look at most people's relationships. That's how it ends up. Because they're just not healing and working on their stuff that's being triggered. And they're just repeating those old patterns. They're just repeating those old wounds. Yeah. And eventually you hit a fucking breaking point where you're like, fuck this, I've had enough. It's been going on for X amount of time. And the love dissipates and all that good stuff. So yeah, so I guess my sort of pillars on relationships, make sure you're both whole. Make sure that you've both got clarity on your vision. Make sure you're both aligned with that vision. Make sure you're willing to, and understand that you both need to do work for you both to get to that vision. Then five, you're going to be doing a lot of that work together. So have your ways of navigating the triggers and working through your stuff when you guys bring it to the surface.
Yeah,
those would be my tips. Ugh.
I hope everyone took notes on that because that was deep. That was on point. I love it because I think a lot of people, when we do have our triggers brought to the surface, again, the ego steps in and it defends us and puts the blame onto the person who was in the situation as if they made us feel that way. You made me sad. You made me angry. You did this to me. And that's why I did this instead of mirroring.
I wanted love to chime in right on that line because I missed out this line. What someone does is their stuff. How you react and respond is your stuff.
Yep.
So keep going.
I love that. And how you say, you started out saying, make sure you're both whole. And I think a lot of people are probably starting out in a situation where probably one or both sides of the relationship are, this has gone very deep on relationships now. I love it. Are not whole. And they've come together to try and fill that gap for each other. And they need each other because the other person has what they don't have in themselves. But then because the inner work hasn't been done, the ego deflects the triggers, they blame each other for everything, and then it all falls apart when it didn't need to. So both parties also have to be aware of that and open to working on themselves and open to feeling the ego come up, because the ego doesn't just arise, like it's uncomfortable. You want to run away from it. I still have those triggers myself when something comes up and I have to consciously think, I cannot react that way. That's old MJ. That's the ego coming up. I need to be okay with this situation and move through it in this new way. And it's uncomfortable. It's like it's almost like you feel this burning inside of you. Like, oh, it's so hard to do. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. So if you can just be open and communicate with your partner and do that personal development together. Yeah, I love that you said that. Yeah, everything that you just said, absolutely on point. Do you have, I guess, let's go with three. Three favorite mindset techniques that you use that help you? Do you have three favorite mindset techniques as a whole, or would you like me to give you some context of what they help you achieve?
Look, I can answer that question, or you can give me context. I don't mind. What would you prefer?
I would love to know what your three favorite mindset techniques are, just completely off the bat.
Yeah, beautiful. Knowing values and being authentic to them. Like, if If you just live to your values, it actually solves a lot of challenges. Self-worth, imposter syndrome, feeling lost, unfulfilled, empty, having boundaries. There's a lot that gets done with values. That's why I've got a free training on it, episode 200 on my podcast. Second would be balancing. So that's by healing. So balancing for me is healing. So any trauma, wounds, judgment, hurt, whatever, balancing. So let's call it that. And probably three would just be regulating, whether it's breath work, meditation, grounding, just bringing that nervous system back down to back to neutral, whatever version you want to use. I like breath work, a bit of meditation. I like go standing up, down on the grass and just grounding myself a bit. So yeah, those would be my top three.
I love that. Yeah, pretty similar to mine. I think they are they're the top players for sure. I think understanding your own values is super important. I know a lot of my girls need to hear this and love it when I tell them this, but understanding your own values can really help you to get that sense of self and identity to give you the self of the sense of worthiness to achieve the best version of yourself that you want to become. So I know anyone who follows me, anyone who follows you, they're in it to better themselves, whether it's health, mindset, life, career, whatever. And a lot of people suffer from a lot of self-doubt and feeling unworthy and unsure that they deserve or that they even have it in them to get to where they want to be. And I think a lot of that comes from lack of sense of identity that they can latch onto to give them that self-confidence. So whenever I talk to my girls about confidence, I say you've got to latch on to something that, you know, find what you value, what you know about yourself that you love, how you contribute to society so that you can have that inner confidence. It's not always attached to how you look. But then, so you've got that, the values, like you said. Yeah, absolutely. And I love meditation as well, for sure. You've got to give your brain that time to zen out and calm down and process thoughts and be able to, I guess, think back consciously on situations, analyze what happened, do that self-reflection and think, how could I have acted better or differently in that situation? Why did I do it? What could I have done better? I think is huge as well. So, and I think it sounds a bit detached, but I know my version of meditation is walking. Just sometimes with a podcast, sometimes not, like turn down really low, just that stimulation, but just walking, slow movement of the body, just zen out, just let thoughts come in. And then I find I'm able to reflect a lot better and process thoughts a lot better. So I feel like that really is beneficial as well. So I love that you do that too. What's your favorite meditation technique? Everyone's so different with it.
Well, I have different styles. So I've got two purposes of meditation. One is centering, which is balancing essentially. So trauma is unprocessed memory. So I like that you use the word process your thoughts. So just to do some processing. And then some's more creation. So getting clear on vision, on business, on relationship, on what there's to be done, some video ideas, some podcast ideas, some stuff like that. So depending on what's going on in my life, so like this week I've done a lot of processing just because I've had a lot of sort of personal family things coming up. And then, yeah, when I'm in a more of a creative flow and I'm getting clear on the business, the next steps, tactically and all that stuff, I do a bit more visualizing on a creative aspect. But super easy hack for a lot of people, I get all my clients to do it, is go to YouTube and just type in like frequencies or healing frequencies or something like that, and just literally have a shower. And instead, if depending on what you do in the shower, a lot of people play music, just play the frequencies. So put your phone somewhere where obviously it won't get wet, but you can hear it pretty well. Just play frequencies. Downside is you'll have long showers because you'll get thinking and you'll drift off. My toxic trait is I have long showers. So that's a really simple one. Whenever you play music, if you just switch it out for frequencies, it's a really easy easy trick to give you more time to process and heal. So driving's a good one for me. I'm literally like cranking frequencies as I drive down the M1. Love. So I'm like levitating down the highway. So that's a really easy hack. And yeah, sometimes I just go sit outside. We've got a little like a little seat outside near the grass in the sun, and I'll just sit there, do some breath work, and yeah, just ground myself.
Love. Yes. I'm so glad you dropped that tip. That's absolute gold. A lot of people don't actually give enough credit or really actually believe the power of frequency for our brain. Like our brains, function, operate on so many different frequencies, and each frequency serves its own purpose, obviously, but we can tap into certain frequencies on purpose that optimize the way our brain functions and what we can basically get out of ourselves. And I think that is a whole different topic in and of itself. We're going to have to do another episode just to talk about all of that stuff. Vibrational frequencies, manifestation, law of attraction, all of those things. Let's lock that in.
Let's do it. Let's do it, girlfriend.
What would be my final question for you? what would be your best piece of advice for someone who is listening to this episode and thinking, oh my gosh, I need to level up my mindset. Where do I start?
Start with whatever your intuition takes you. So like, I started with Tony Robbins. I went to Gary Vee. I went to Kerwin Ray. I went to, like, they were not shallow. Shallow is not the word, but they were, I eventually led myself into spirituality. That's kind of where I've really found, like, I love it, but I wouldn't have gotten there if it wasn't for those things that initially grabbed my attention. Like, you never step in the same river twice. You'll always learn and take in what you're ready to. Like, I did Rich Dad Poor Dad when I first started. Like, I'm a little bit evolved past that, but I can still go back and learn that again and get something else from it. So I would say, yes, just start somewhere, whether it's YouTube. You're obviously listening to a podcast right now. Fantastic. If you vibe with me, you can jump into my world. If you don't vibe with me, that's fine. Grab someone else, go down. We've mentioned a ton of names. I love Peter Crone. He's an awesome recommendation. Wayne Dyer is awesome. John DeMartini is awesome. Joe Dispenza is awesome. Obviously, Tony Robbins, we've mentioned him about 10 times here. Yeah. There's tons and tons and tons of resources out there. I'm doing Ayurveda at the moment, so I'm going down that rabbit hole to learn about the Indian healing sort of language and their natural way of healing. So I'm really enjoying that. You can go down the spiritual healing. You can go down Reiki healing. You can go down plant medicine routes. There are so many rabbit holes. So just get started with what you're drawn towards. Yeah. I'm certainly not the right fit for a lot of people or the right vibe for people, but I certainly am. And some people are, some people aren't. So listen to your intuition. Your intuition is actually guiding you to your purpose. We're just not listening to it all the time. Nope. So listen to your intuition. It is guiding you towards your path and your vision and your purpose and your vision, the life that you want. Just listen to it. If you feel drawn to someone like Megan, go to Megan. If you feel like me, go to me. If you feel like someone else, go to someone else and just follow that. And like, I'm sure you finish experience this as well, MJ. You kind of like sort of go through sort of like in the chapters or seasons with some people. Like, I was big on Gary Vee and then I wasn't doing too much of him. And then I went back to him for a little bit and then come back out of it. So, and you kind of just sort of jump between sort of people that you really align with and whatever you're needing. Maybe you need a bit more tactical shit. You're like, fuck, I feel so spiritually whole, but I got no fucking money. Then go down to Alex Hormozy rabbit hole and learn how to fucking sell shit. Or maybe you're like, you know what, I got all this money, but I'm fucking empty on the inside. Maybe someone like me is a bit more aligned with that. Or maybe like a Wayne Dyer, or maybe like a DeMartini. Yeah. I'm not sure. So follow your intuition. It's always telling you where to go.
Yes. I love, love, love how you said follow your intuition and do what you feel attracted to. My biggest thing is teaching all of my girls and my followers how to find the way that makes you tick. Don't just do what you think is right. Don't just do what everyone else seems to be doing. You know, like, if you're just go on Instagram or YouTube and type in personal development, and whichever thumbnail grabs your attention, that's because your intuition is saying this one's for you. Something in that is attracting you to it. And then you start there. And if you're like, yeah, that wasn't quite it, go another one. And you will eventually. That's exactly how I started. I fell into the rabbit hole with Gary Vee. He introduced me to everyone else. There's been so many people that have come across my radar that I've sort of filtered in and out. And the more you do it, the more aware you become of what you need and what you want. And you, yeah, like you said, you'll go through seasons. Like, I went through the whole everyone manifestation, law of attraction, vibrational frequencies. Now I'm listening to Gary Vee on the daily again at the moment. And it, yeah, so I love that. It can ebb and flow, it can change, but just keep doing what you feel pulled to do and you will never fail.
Fucking love you, girl.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Before we finish up here, I'd love you to tell everyone about your podcast so that everyone knows what they're in for when I link it in the show notes and they can go find you as well.
Beautiful. Very similar to you. Like, I just love having beautiful conversations with some beautiful guests. So you've got some awesome guests on there. I've got Dr. John DeMartini on there. I've got Sabri Subi coming on tomorrow.
Really?
Oh my gosh. I'm really keen for. So Shark Tank Shark is coming on, which is cool. Yeah, I've got some really awesome guests. Jack DeLos is on there. A lot of it is me, so probably 70% of my episodes are me. So I use it to help me articulate my message and my gift and lessons, and like, it's just awesome to see myself and my iterations of myself as I evolve. I've done 235 episodes now, so there's a ton on there. Mental health, healing, purpose, triggers, boundaries, relationships, there's a fair bit there, so go enjoy.
Love it. I'll link that in the show notes, and I'll link your Instagram handle in there as well. Guys, definitely jump on there every day. Multiple posts that'll just light you up. It's freaking incredible. I love it. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for today's chat. This has been beyond amazing.
Thank you so much.
I've had the best time, and I just know everyone is just going to froth this episode. So we are going to have to sort out another one to talk about manifestation of vibrational frequencies. I just know that for a fact. Oh, Bam. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. It's been so much fun chatting with Lewis. So I hope you've enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed talking for you guys. As always, please do not keep this episode to yourself. If you know someone who you think would benefit from hearing this, please tell them about us or drop a link or take a snapshot and share it to your Instagram stories, tag us. And if you've got time, pop over to the platform you're listening on and drop us a 5-star review so we can get to the top of the list there and find more people and help them as well. But that is all from us for today. So I'll talk to you in the next episode. Bye for now.
Bye.